Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at the next two issues of Nightwing by Tom Taylor, Redondo, Leonardi, Edwards, Lanning, Lucas, Abbott, and Campbell. Let's go. To the gods. I am still coughing, folks. Drew and I made some tea. Yeah, it's been 3 weeks. I apologize, but the show must go on. But because of that, I'm going to lean on Drew a little bit more this episode just to spare you all. And I'm just going to sit here and sip my tea when I'm not needed.
We're trying some different microphones. Maybe the coughs, when he invariably can't restrain himself, will not be quite as loud as the last ones. I don't know. We'll see.
Pretty aggressive.
There's also a small hiss. I don't know. If you're listening to this podcast and you're part of the Discord, can you do me a favor and tell me, oh, there's a little kitty paw sticking through the door. Can you tell me, you don't have to tell me there's a kitty paw sticking through the door. If you're listening to this podcast and you're on the Discord, will you tell me if you currently hear a high-level hiss? Because I hear it, and I don't know if it's going to come through on, you know, in your typical listening situations. Yeah. If you're driving, you probably don't notice.
I bet Shane's listening right now. Shane, I don't know if you're in the Discord or not, but I think you are.
Yeah.
But if you forget to get in there, text me and let me know.
Yeah. Just curious. I'm always, you know, we move around to different listening and recording environments all the time, and I'm always trying to make sure that we have as professional of a product as possible, but this feels worse than normal, but it's for the sake of the cough. So we'll see what happens.
I am sweating right now drinking this tea, but we can't turn the fan on because that'll make the sound worse. So everybody know that I'm suffering for you all.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Sacrifices must be made.
Well, is there anything you want to say before you tell me what you've been reading, yo?
I think the less I say, the better.
Okay.
Yep. What have I been reading, yo?
Hey, what you been reading, yo?
Carrying on with Secret Invasion. I'm like halfway.
That's the chair.
I'm like halfway through that event right now. It's still really good. I'm also intrigued. There's like a new Secret Invasion out right now, like ongoing, I think. I think issue 3 just hit stands today or tomorrow. Also carried on and read some more of this Tom Taylor Nightwing stuff. Super good. And then also, I went back and continued, because of this, the Superman Son of Kal-El that is also by Tom Taylor, of which we will get a little reference to in today's issues. It's
spoilers.
It's an interesting run as well. I'm kind of curious, like, after reading these two, like, greater DC, what's going on right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very light spoilers to say that Superman is leaving the Earth for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And his son is being left behind to remain as Superman. And talk about big cape to fill.
Do you know, like, did you say you've read some of that or you intend to?
I'm like 6 issues in.
Will you tell me, does the world still know that Clark Kent is Superman?
Yes.
Okay. Because that was like the last big event back whenever I read like a year ago. And I didn't know how things had unfolded from that.
Yeah. There's just a few instances where, in this issue, he's still just his friend. A new character that is now currently dating John.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Comes over and he like freaks out because he's like meeting Lois Lane.
Oh, okay.
And then like puts together, or doesn't even have to put together. He just knows like Lois Lane and Clark Kent
are together.
But the world knows, and then Superman leaves.
Okay.
So pretty wild. But it's good too. Tom Taylor. Tom's kind of working for me right now. Tom King, Tom Taylor. Those are my boys. What about you? What have you been reading?
I have read The Nightwing for the show, issue 82 and 83. I also finished New Mutants number 1 for Dawn of X.
Like new, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
The most recent stuff.
This is everything else I'm about to say is Dawn of X. New Mutants number 1, I finally read that. I read X-Force number 1, which had quite a shock at the end of issue 1. And Fallen Angels 1. So I've read all of the number 1s of Dawn of X, and I think I will go back and continue reading X-Men, I will for sure read Marauders, X-Force, and New Mutants. I'm not sure about Excalibur or Fallen Angels.
Both of those were misses for me.
Okay.
Fallen Angels especially so, which I was surprised. I thought I was going to like it, but I was dragging myself across the finish line for every issue.
You might try to get closer when you're talking.
Yeah.
I also read back whenever I was reading that stuff with Superman revealing that he's Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Clark Kent revealing he's Superman. I can't remember which way it was. It's one and the same. I had also been reading the current Batman Superman run or Superman Batman. I never remember which order it's in. And I went ahead and jumped back into that from like 2019.
There are constantly so many Superman and Batman stories. Like there's like always 10.
This one's an interesting one. I can't quite figure out what's happening. It was like number 19, maybe number 16.
Uh-huh.
They drop us back in kind of an alternate old time, but it's also the future, you know, where Superman and Batman haven't really met each other, I don't think. But it's also somehow loosely related to the time that, like the current world. I think they called it Earth Zero. I don't know. I'm going to keep reading that. I'm only halfway through. It's a weird book where there's a parallel telling of a Superman story and a Batman story, but it's like they're on old school film. We're seeing a story unfold, and it's just every single page is a double page, and they're just panning across like that. So I read the Superman all the way through because it was just easier for continuity. And now I'm going to go back and read the Batman one. But in this world, Bruce Wayne's dad died, but Martha didn't.
Oh, wow.
So I'm curious to see how that all works out. Anyway, and Lois doesn't know that Superman is Superman, that Clark Kent is Superman. So, but yeah, that's all. I think I may have actually also read an entire book last week. Mm. It was a short one. I can't remember what it was called. Something about a serial killer.
That's what it's called.
Something about a serial killer.
Before we get too much further, Drew, you want to tell our listeners how they can support this podcast?
Nah.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding. We would love it if you would join our Discord, link in the show notes. You can interact with us. Last night, we were live streaming, live tweeting, live Discording our watch of Doctor Strange for the later portion of this episode.
Alex and Drew rank the MCU.
Correct.
Which you can get a little copy for yourself to rank the films yourself in the show notes.
And then we... that's what I was talking about. I was going to talk more about Discord. You don't need to know about that. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Two Man Comic Book Club with the number 2. You can find us on Twitter at Two Man Comic Book. I was going to say shoot us an email, but I'm wondering if somebody took our email address and like signed up for something because I've been getting a ton of spam into our Two Man email. Reach us through Discord. We have a Patreon if you happen to be listening and would like us to, you know, would want to support us so that we can do what we do better. I think it's just patreon.com/2mancomicbookclub or 2mancomicbookclub.patreon.com. I can't remember which, but that likewise, there is a link down in the show notes. Alex, where can they reach you if they can't get enough of you?
You can find me everywhere at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, who I imagine sometimes also has a cough.
Yes.
I am Batman.
But it's like...
yeah, way more brooding and menacing.
You can find me, or you can find ways to reach out to me, contact me at drewmorrismusic.com.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you can. Share it with a friend. Goes a long way to helping.
I heard a podcast the other day saying that you can leave them on Spotify somehow now.
We should go check. I'm going to go look right now while you're talking about something else.
All right. I'm going to talk about something else. Rhode Island. Neither a road nor an island. Discuss. Just kidding. Little church lady humor. Okay, so I think we might just go ahead and jump straight into Nightwing, where last week we were just learning that there's a new mayor in town who was related to the people that were responsible for Dick Grayson's parents dying. And then he's just getting into it. But we left off with Nightwing, Dick Grayson, breaking into the mayor's house to get to the bottom of things and learning that Melinda Zucco is actually Dick Grayson's sister. And that was the cliffhanger. So now we open right on that.
There's nothing on Spotify.
Okay. And they're talking. She's like, wait, you're my sister? I'd know if my father had another child. And she's like, why? He didn't. And then all of a sudden, Dick is like, oh, hey, I need my mask. And he puts it on real quick. And he's like, Oracle, Oracle, whatever you're about to do to try to rescue me, stop.
This was I mean, it's not that important, but it's a nice little just moment. This was maybe like my favorite little just guilty pleasure. Because as Drew said, he's like, he panics in the middle of conversation of pretty big news, right? Mm-hmm. He's got a sister that you know about. That he realizes that he's been off radio for a while, and he's got to imagine that somebody is coming to get him because they have each other's backs. And then there's this cool scene. Where is it?
It's the second page.
Oh, yeah. Oracle basically goes, are you sure we, you know, they're coming in hot. Mm-hmm. And it shows the Teen Titans and Batman all like closing in quick on his location. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else I'm missing here?
Well, Donna Troy's there. I'm not sure that, I mean, she's sometimes part of the Titans. It kind of frames her as if she's her own independent person at this point.
Wait, who is this? Is
that
her?
That's Donna Troy.
Okay. She's Wonder Woman right now, correct?
No? I've never quite. She might have been a Wonder Girl at times. I don't know. I can't keep up with all the Wonders. That's one of my weak spots in the DC universe, understanding the Wonder family.
Yeah. There'd be a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a cool moment, and they do call it off, but it was just it's a nice lore moment to see, like, oh, like, Nightwing's not responding he's not checking his texts, he's leaving people on red.
Yeah.
Well, somebody's coming to get him.
So I'm going to zip through issue 82 rather swiftly because it's essentially a flashback. And we're getting to learn how Melinda Zuko is Dick Grayson's sister.
Yeah, so most of you will know. I'll just do my supplemental part now and let Drew go off. The origin story of Dick Grayson, right? He was a member of the Flying Graysons as a child, and tragedy struck, and there was an accident, quote-unquote, orchestrated by the Zuko family during one of their acts that killed both of his parents. Or they actually shot them, right? Or did?
I mean,
a movie portrayal, they actually fall or something, and there's like sabotage the netter. I don't know.
I've always thought it was just the net was broken, but yeah, I could be wrong.
I think in the comics they might have actually killed them, okay, like with guns. But anyway, then he, you know, childhood. It's very similar Batman origin story. Anyway, carry
so,
on.
So yeah, so they're talking, and essentially, Melinda's like, "Well, let's go meet my mom upstairs." And Dick Grayson changes into street clothes and goes up and kind of meets her, and she's like, oh my God, it's like looking at Jonathan or John in the face, and, you know, Mary's there too. But then essentially we find out that, what's her name?
Maylee.
She was a mail order bride that Zuko bought. And
some gross trafficking going on.
And so they're together, and at some point she runs away because she's not enjoying it. They're at the circus.
Yeah,
and
she took her to the circus.
She runs away. And essentially ends up back in the trailer area where all of the people that work the circus are. And Zuko follows her, but Jonathan Grayson pops out. He's like, what?
Dick Grayson's father.
Yes, Dick Grayson's father. He's like, can I help you? And he's like, I'm looking for somebody. And pulls a gun on him. And then what's her face? Mary, who they're not the Graysons yet. They're just,
just coworkers.
Acrobats that fly together. They basically fight him and get the gun away. And once the dude the strong man comes in, and once he's convinced to leave, we find out that actually Maylee was there, and Jonathan was like keeping her safe in his trailer or whatever. And she kind of hangs out with the circus for a while.
Yeah,
she works, and they get close. And at some point,
she actually says, like, you know, this was before, she makes a point to say your parents were not unfaithful to each other. This was before that. She says, John and I weren't involved long, but just long enough.
Yeah. And then I think Zuko comes and gets her anyway, drags her away. And at some point she is able to get back, like to run away again. But this is a whole lot that happens.
You know,
after she has the kid, Zuko just kind of, I'm sure he knows it's not his kid, but
yeah,
he just
mentions like
he just rolls with it. But eventually she's able to go and visit the circus again. to tell Jonathan everything, but whoops, there's a new kid in the picture.
Yeah, and this is like several years, like Dick Grayson's old enough to be learning how to be one of the acts in the circus.
So they basically decide, you know, maybe it's better if we don't. And then, but because by that time the Graysons are together, and I guess as eventually they get killed and it's too late for them to do anything. And, you know.
Yeah. And that's, they kind of add that that's why Zuko targeted them, is because John, he kind of suspected that John Grayson was the father.
It's not just a random, it's not just a random thing, but there's actual backstory.
I think you're right. Actually, looking at this art, I just saw this blood in the comic and assumed they were shot, but I think this is just that for they fell.
Yeah. That's what I've always assumed, whether it's right or not. So they're talking, and eventually, like, I'm glad we were able to meet, you know. And they kind of, Dick Grayson and Melinda start talking again, and they realize that Blockbuster has her apartment surrounded, because he's like, last they knew, I had broken into your house. And he's like, well, actually, that's exactly what I did.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, the only way that we can make this work is if you trust me, something like that.
Yeah.
So it just shows like that this issue ends with police, or not, I guess it's police, but it's Zuko police, owns the
SWAT
police.
Team,
Or not Zuko, Blockbuster owns the police. Mm-hmm. And they're getting ready to descend on and like just take out Nightwing.
It's a cool little through line. It's a simple issue because it is a re-origin story to implement the sister in, what's her name?
Maylee.
Nope, the daughter, his sister, Melinda, to implement her into the origin story of Dick Grayson. But also there's the parallel of both Melinda and Dick have contingency plans for something to go wrong for people to show up.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I hadn't even thought that.
The Titans and the Batman get there quite a bit quicker than Blockbuster and the SWAT team, because of course they do. But it makes you wonder if they had stuck around, if Blockbuster would have showed up so quickly.
Yeah. So that's this issue. The next one, the cover, as soon as I looked at it, I was like, what is this about?
Yeah, it's just I thought this was a continuation because I'm reading it in a trade form. It looks like he's running from whatever's going on here.
But yeah, we got Nightwing on the cover, and he's like in his outfit, and he's like zipping onto the stairs on a stage and changing into a dress, like a suit.
Yeah.
He's changing into a suit as he goes, and it shows like at the last second he remembers to take off his mask, and then he's like addressing a large crowd, which will make sense when we get to the end of this episode issue.
Yes,
issue
81. Thoughts?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I am admittedly pretty ignorant of actual Robin origins, Nightwing origins. Like you said, all I know, I learned from the Batman Forever movie.
Right.
I think Batman Forever was the one where we got Robin and the Flying Graysons.
Did you ever finish those Robins comics that I got you Christmas?
I'm a bad boy. No, but even then, that wasn't Dick Grayson.
Right,
it was
a
like
bunch
an
of different ones.
Army of kids working together to kind of like carry the mantle of Robin.
Right.
So I never actually, because I stopped kind of reading it when we started talking about doing Alex and Drew read the New 52.
Yeah. We're still going to do it.
Yeah. So, and that's part of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder if I don't want to really spoil it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah. So yeah, it was interesting to look back. I'm always kind of curious whenever people look back, and I mean, there's times when retconning somebody's origin story provides a lot of interest. And there's part of me that also questions, well, what would the actual person that invented these people feel about that?
Right.
I don't know. It's like
it's kind of a
The prequel, Star Wars prequel questions.
Right. You know, they only have so much they can do before it starts getting just bonkers. So it makes sense to like ground new characters in some continuity. You're gonna have much higher batting average at getting fans behind them.
This isn't something that I felt like really messed anything up to my knowledge. No. I mean, it seems like, oh yeah, it was interesting. I'm curious to see where it goes.
Right.
If it pays off in a big way in the end, or if it's just like, well, okay, whatever.
For sure. Let's start issue 83.
So we literally pick up the next frame with Blockbuster, and the police are surrounding him. He's like, okay, I'm going in. And then we kind of, I think this is when Dick is kind of saying, you need to trust me. There's only one way out of this, essentially. And a lot of stuff happens, and finally, whenever we see that he jumps in, Blockbuster breaks in, Melinda and her bodyguard are tied to a chair.
Right.
Like Nightwing tied them up and then flew out.
They think Nightwing was still attacking them and they're not working together because there might be some working together that can be done between Melinda
and Dick. Absolutely. And then a chase ensues, a Blockbuster running and like literally breaking, not just through a window, but through a wall.
Yeah, he's giving like Kingpin / Hulk vibes here.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty buff.
Blockbuster smash.
Yes. Look how tiny that phone is in his hand over there.
Oh, I know. Yeah, there's one specific scene. He's talking on a phone. It makes me think of Zoolander. Is this Zoolander with the tiny phones? Yeah. So,
it's a phone for ants.
Anyway, they're like fighting across rooftops, and Oracle kind of pops in saying, like, look, you're not equipped to deal with this right now. You need to get out of there. Run. And then a helicopter comes in, starts like peppering them with bullets, machine gun bullets. And
Blockbuster's literally screaming, kill him.
Yeah.
To the police.
And Nightwing runs towards the bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And
because he knows that the bullets going anywhere else are going to buildings of innocent people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I've got to assume, I'm sure they go into it, but he's got to have some sort of bulletproof nature of his stuff, you know, but not on his face.
No.
He's got plot armor too.
You should have gone for the head.
Yeah. So anyway, he pulls some Flying Grayson action with his baton.
That's an understatement. This is an awesome panel.
Yeah.
Of him like going towards the helicopter and literally flying circus act from underneath it to kick the guys out of it. It's really
tying
cool.
them all up. Yeah. We finally get to see like there's a funny panel where he makes it up. The only one left in the helicopter is the pilot, and the pilot just hands over handcuffs and's like, just handcuff me, just don't throw me out. But then nope, he threw him out. And it looks like Nightwing is taking over this helicopter just to make his getaway. I'm sure he's not hurting anybody. He lands it somewhere because the next thing we see, he is letting himself back into the window of his building. Oracle is there. Robin is there, and he just kind of collapses.
Can I just say I love Oracle's shirt? It's the meme shirt of Batman slapping old Robin.
I noticed fantastic. That. Yeah. And so they basically collapse, and the next morning he wakes up and he's like, you know, I have an idea of what I want to do with this money, and I need to
also,
go talk to some people
for 2 days.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He's like, because he says like, it's morning. He's like, I thought I was. Slept that long.
He was originally worried, but Oracle's like, don't worry, you gave me enough information before you went to sleep. I've been tracking everybody while you've been asleep.
Yeah.
Nothing, no news.
So then we kind of have a scene of him. He goes to a place called the Tompkins Free Clinic, and he's like just talking to, it's all veiled in secrecy at this point, but he's like, he goes to them, he talks to them about a plan he has. He talks to the Titans. He talks to Lucius Fox. Then he goes to Superman, and he talks, and they have like, they spend a lot of time talking to Superman, sorry.
You're good.
And once again, still not giving anything, but he's just saying he's got this money from Alfred. He wants to do something special with it that can really help. And him and Superman are just talking on top of the Daily Planet. And Superman also goes on to say, look, I'm going to have some things coming up. I need you to keep an eye on Jonathan for me while I'm gone, which connects to the other storyline.
Yeah, if you remember earlier, I said I've been reading the Superman Son of Kal-El. It is also written by Tom Taylor, and he's kind of crossing over his books he's over on right now. But yeah, he basically says, I got all this from Alfred Pennyworth. Do you think it's a good idea? And we still don't know what his idea is, but Superman's like, this will help people. And I have, you know, I respect Alfred Pennyworth more than most people.
Yeah.
You know, he's responsible for bringing all these many superheroes to fruition.
Yeah. So then the next morning, there's I guess Dick has called a press conference right in front of his apartment building. And basically he steps out front after a little pep talk from Oracle and a kiss. And basically just like, hey, my name's Dick Grayson. I've just become a billionaire. And essentially what he's getting around to is that he wants to take this money to not use on himself, but he wants to take care of homeless people.
He wants
need.
To establish the largest self-sustaining, purely philanthropic foundation.
Yeah. So to deal with with homeless kids, to deal with people who need medicine, and all this stuff. And I think, what is it? He says, one of the guys.
The reporter. It's kind of a gross moment, but it's like we've all heard this, right? Yeah. No matter what end of the political spectrum you find yourself on. Like a reporter's like, you know, Mr. Grayson, a lot of people have problems beyond homelessness. And Grayson's like, yes. And he's like, so why start there? And Grayson kind of like drops his head, like disappointed. And he goes, it's simple. It's getting colder. Like it's winter. Yeah. People need a place to live, you know?
Yeah. We're going to do that and then make sure that these people are safe before we move on, mm-hmm. you know? And then like, while this is all happening, we kind of cut to a few different scenes. One, Blockbuster literally wiping blood off of his hands and face as they're dragging somebody. I don't know who that is. But
yeah, he's like also watching this news conference happen.
Oracle. Far. Oracle's watching with the puppy that we met a few issues ago.
What was the puppy's name?
I was going to say Pizza Dog. Was it Lucky? No, that Lucky is
Lucky
from
is the Pizza Dog.
Pizza Dog. I've forgotten. Yeah, sorry. It shows Melinda and Maylin, and Maylin's like, oh, I like him.
Yeah.
And basically he was just like, yes, so today I announce the Alfred Pennyworth Foundation.
Fantastic name.
And he gets, you know, he turns away and he's got a bunch of text messages from the Bat family. Everybody's basically just patting him on the back. Mm-hmm. One kid just sending a whole blistering list of emojis.
Yeah, it's Cassandra Cain.
Yeah, okay. And then he gets a phone call and he's like, oh, hey, you don't normally call. And then it shows Batman. He's like, I know, I'm sorry, but you, Dick, you honored me, you honored him today. Thank you. I was trying to do his voice.
I know, I'm laughing because the pause, what he just read was verbatim, but he goes, I know, I'm sorry, but you, Dick. And then you paused for a little bit after that. Yeah. Just the pausing of it was hilarious. Anyway, Batman thanks him for honoring Alfred.
Yeah. And is that the last thing? Okay. Yeah. And then we kind of go back. It's the post-credit scene where somebody is standing in front of a big TV that is playing this, and somebody walks up talking to this guy holding a jar that has a heart in it. Mm. And then it cuts. There's a whole wall of hearts behind it. It's the guy from a couple issues ago. Basically just saying,
heartless.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get his heart before he gives a heart back to this city. And, you know, so it's just like, okay, so yeah, we may have forgotten about that for two issues.
Right.
But we're but not done with it's that still story. Happening. Now, I think we may just stop there for now. It's worth picking up. We might keep reading and come back to it because the next three issues are part of the Fear State banner of things, and mm-hmm. I think that's like a overarching thing.
It's like the hard thing when events happen and they kind of commandeer your story for a while. They hijack it.
So yeah, well, that's a nice, short, sweet thing. It's a strong collection so far. The art's great, the story's mm-hmm. great, the pacing is good. So it's worth checking out if you're at all interested in the Bat family.
Yeah, it's a strong story. I mean, I think it's still ongoing, Taylor. Yeah. Like
Tom Taylor still
doing
it.
Won an award for this, even like an Eisner. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure he's at least nominated. But
yeah.
One of the better DC ongoings.
Yeah, I enjoy it. And like I've said, the most I know of Nightwing comes from Titans.
Yeah.
The show.
If you've ever watched Teen Titans, the OG mm-hmm, one, mm-hmm. there's an episode where they go way in the future, and this is when he's still Robin, when he's not Nightwing, but this is Dick Grayson in the Teen Titans show. Have you seen this? There's an episode where, I don't want to spoil it then.
I mean,
they go in the future and we see some Nightwing. And
okay,
like we
cool.
see much older versions. It's like a what could happen. It's kind of a younger show, right? So mm-hmm. like the message in it is like, they start the episode fighting a little bit. They're like not getting along as roommates. And then like time traveling villain comes in. Somebody's fighting and accidentally activates the boopity boop mm-hmm. and time travel happens. And I think Starfire is the only one that gets sent forward, but she gets to see mm-hmm. all these different things and how her friends turn out because of that day and how they were fighting. And we get to see Nightwing in that. It's a cool moment. Hmm. Very strong episode.
Well, I guess we're supposed to do some trivia and I'm not prepared for that. So
I'm not either. And I could use a cough drop.
Maybe we will take a quick break and we'll be back with lightning round trivia.
And we're back with our lightning round trivia where our questions are faster than Batman and the Teen Titans showed up to rescue Nightwing right before he called off the rescue. Do you want to go first? Who's winning? We're tied at zero, right?
I think so.
Also, shout outs to Stephen Klim, who apparently knew most of the answers to last week's trivia with the Nightwing stuff.
Nice.
Apparently he's either extremely lucky or a better Nightman fan,
Nightwing
fan than we are.
Dayman?
The Dayman, Nightman.
Do you know what?
Brunch Boy.
Dayman. Oh, fighter of the night. Or wait, night.
I don't know what that is.
It's from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's amazing.
I've seen episodes of that and laughed.
Yeah. it's funny and terrible. Anyway.
I will go first.
Okay.
I'm going to try not to cough, people. I'm sorry. So there have been several Robins throughout history. We've already, I think, one time used that as a question before, like asking the name of the Robins. But most of the Robins go on to do something else after they hold the mantle of Robin. So, for instance, Dick Grayson becomes Nightwing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jason Todd becomes the Red Hood after he has come back to life from being killed by the Joker. The two that I think most people don't know about as much are both Tim Drake,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people won't even know that this was a Robin, Stephanie Brown.
Okay.
One of the newer ones. For possible 2 points, can you tell me what either one of them go on to be after maintaining the position of Robin?
I'd like to phone a friend.
I'll allow it.
I would have to Discord a friend. I have no idea.
I wouldn't have known one of them. I would have had a decent guess at the other.
Does Stephanie go on to be a Batgirl?
That is correct.
Oh, hey. That was just a total shot in the dark.
That's the only one I would have had a guess at Batgirl.
As for Tim Drake, mm-hmm. I feel like I know, but I don't know.
This is a tricky one.
It's like one of those where as soon as you say it, I think I'll go, oh.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Here, just let me think for a second.
He's really thinking.
No, I have no idea.
He becomes Red Robin.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I
feel like you would have.
Because I was thinking Red Hood, Red Robin. I was...
Mm-hmm. I it's was, tricky because yeah. you feel like you've already checked off the red
yep.
usage of yep. Red Hood.
Yep. I knew that.
He goes on to become the Red Robin under his new identity. Drake began to conduct his own investigations and search for any potential traces of Bruce Wayne, who was missing at this time.
Sorry. I shouldn't laugh at you. That was but it literally looked like you were about to vomit.
I feel like it sometimes. Yeah. I sound ridiculous, so I'm just trying to make it through this episode.
Okay. So we'll try to make it quick. Mm-hmm. Question. Who gave Nightwing his name?
I know this. Was this in the comic we just read? No.
I don't know.
It was Superman, right?
Yeah,
it was. Yes.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read that somewhere recently.
In Nightwing Year One, apparently, Nightwing was the name of like a Kryptonian hero. Mm. And anyway, they were talking.
That's cool.
He gave him that name.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
And it's funny because like I feel like I have some comics where there are Kryptonians named Nightwing from the 00s, like 2000s.
Yeah.
Cool. That's that.
We're tied, and we'll put a pause on that. And I feel like maybe one day we'll come back to some Nightwing. It's a good enough story. Let us know what you thought about this one. We had a lot of fun covering it. Did you get those questions right? Hit us up in the Discord and let us know. Let's get on to Alex and Drew Rank the MCU, where this week we watched Doctor Strange from 2016. Can you believe that?
Mr. Doctor.
2016 was 9 years ago. No, yeah. It wasn't. It was 7 years ago.
I've heard it both ways.
Everybody just clicked unsubscribe for bad math.
That's okay.
Still, 7 years since that movie came out. Pretty wild.
Yep.
What did you think about Doctor Strange?
It was good. I enjoyed it. My gut reaction, as soon as it happened, I gave it my gut. And I was like, okay, I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I liked it more than Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't think I liked it more than Civil War and Winter Soldier. So I gave it a 9.
A 9 in your gut?
Yeah.
I gave it an 8.8, so we were very close there.
Yeah.
Similar thoughts, didn't quite like it as much of those two. I'll cut straight to one of the things that did end up making this rank relatively high, though we'll see if it stays there after the next few weeks. The video section of this where we're grading color, composition, edit, costume, set design, and CGI is the highest scoring one that I've actually graded so far.
Yeah.
Specifically, the composition and the edit of this film, and to an extent, the color, are incredible. The use of framing, just the way that they manipulate the camera, going in and out, wide to pan to tight, the like composition of shots and how they edit it all together. It's just a joy to watch the entire time. What did you think about all that?
Yeah, it was the same. Like the video section's really high for me. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was kind of the plot. I was like, it was good. I loved all the origin story stuff. I could have taken or left Caecilius. It was good. I mean, it was neat to see Dormammu in the dark dimension, stuff like that, and mentions of the multiverse long before any other mention anywhere else. Action was all right, but comedy, I felt like
had moments.
It had a few moments that were funny, but there
I think
were.
It's funnier than the second one.
Yeah, I mean, this one just. I only gave comedy, like, it might be one of my lowest scores anywhere ever.
Oh, wow.
I just gave it a 5 because I was like...
I gave it a 7.
The times that they tried to be funny... Oh, I got some 4s in an Incredible Hulk in different places. But I just, like... There were a few times when there were a few funny moments with Wong and stuff. But, like, there were some jokes that I was just like, eh, that didn't come off as well as you thought.
Yeah. There are a few things. Let's see, I did give 10s to composition and edit. Did I give 10 anywhere else? World building, also pretty massive, you know, mentioning a multiverse and the, you know, all the different, what am I looking for? The different dimensions that we see. Character development's also pretty strong. I think up to this point, Benedict Cumberbatch might be the strongest actor that we've seen watching in order. Some of his performances are really strong in this. Just... the emotion that he brings to like a grieving person that like maybe doesn't deserve it with, you know, he's handed a silver spoon and a second chance and he's like trying to grab at this thing, you know, very complex character and giving up a lot of that stuff. And even at the end, possibly giving up an eternity to save everybody else, you know, being stuck in a time loop with Dormammu. So some good character development there. The weakest section for me, honestly, was like the general effect, which is a funny thing to think about because we get that term from like marching band score sheets and stuff.
But I mean, CGI was like off the charts for me. So
visually, it's incredible. But as far as like drama and emotional response, I didn't feel like crazy, you know, emotionally invested in this. And there weren't any like big Easter eggs.
It hit,
I just was like, oh, that thing.
The initial car crash scene.
Pretty tough.
It hit better or hit differently because of the What If show, like thinking about that and what is going to eventually turn into.
I feel like that emotional drama hits way harder there than it does here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, there were moments that was strong, like basically leading to Alex and I talking after we watched the movie. That for a while, this thing ended up being ranked above Captain America Winter Soldier for me. And I was just like, no, it shouldn't be.
What happened is it scored so high visually. Yeah,
that it's just like, and the music was all right. Like the sound design was good and the music was okay.
While we're on sound design, just real quick, we'll go right back to your thought. This film has, whenever I want to show off my sound system at home, I turn on this movie and go to the scene where the Ancient One pushes Doctor Strange into his astral form and sends him on a trip through the multiverse. And like the dark dimension, all this stuff, it is incredible. Like sonically, things moving all around you, voices panning from left to right, and it's a very impressive. And it kind of carries on through all the big scenes, and this is really cool. Anyway,
so,
you were saying.
So because it was so well done in the video side and the audio side, it just like overbalanced the fact that the general effect section was not as high. Even some of there were some really nice story moments, but not as strong as others. So like, I don't know. I went through because I gave myself the right to do this. I did some recalibration because I was like, yeah, I like Doctor Strange. It's a good movie. I don't think it was better than Winter Soldier, and my scores are putting it there. So I went through and tried to do some work to make it happen.
Right.
Call me a cheater if you want to, but yeah. So I did what I had to get this to where it's now currently sitting. Was it fourth or fifth? fourth.
So this is, believe it or not, we are close on this, but mm-hmm. due to some very narrow margins, I actually have it sitting sixth, but yeah. that is a one hundredth of a point.
That's counting.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So it's actually fourth, isn't it?
Fifth for you.
Okay, so it's fifth.
Yeah.
But it's a 100th of a point away from fourth, right yeah. behind the Avengers, yeah. the first Avengers film, which in my mind, I told this to Drew last night, that makes sense to me, I think, if I'm thinking about, okay, MCU proper, what would I rather watch? You know, would it be Doctor Strange or the first Avengers? And they're close in my mind. Mm-hmm. I think so. For different reasons, but they're both really good.
Yeah.
Overall, I gave it a 85.92 after it was all said and done, which is pretty in line with my gut reaction.
Yeah. My gut was 9, and the final score ended up being 82.62, which puts it fourth for me.
Right. Drew and I also thought last night, like after this, we have, I mean, it's actually going to ramp up.
Yeah. We've got Guardians 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Infinity War, Captain Marvel, Endgame, Far From Home. That's for phase 3.
Almost all of those are likely going to be ahead of Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange is basically in fourth.
Yeah.
So a lot of things are about to get pushed down unless they are all way worse than I remember. Any other thoughts on Doctor Strange?
I will say I watched that not long ago. Because I watched it before Multiverse of Madness. So some of it I remembered. Some of it I was watching differently because I was viewing it from a more critical angle. Because we had started this this ranking before we went and watched Multiverse of Madness. But I didn't mm-hmm. rank that. I was watching it just more as a fan. If you've been listening, you know that I was not the biggest fan of Multiverse of Madness. It had potential to be awesome, and I just didn't do it for me. I'm curious to see, honestly, whenever I really get down to the like ranking
uh-huh.
category by category, which one's going to end up higher, this one or Multiverse of Madness? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can see reasons why there are moments of Multiverse of Madness that are going to blow this one out of the water.
I think,
and
some
then
will.
Vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm really curious. That'll be a curious thing.
It's likely
going to
have all the same strong points, right?
Yeah,
like cinematically. But then there's like
we have so much more fan service and
talk about
and
like continuity of world continuity. Building stretching across like literal, yeah. you know, we're getting a little meta, like movie franchises.
Yeah. So it'll probably end up higher, maybe not with my gut.
Right.
But with the final score, I wouldn't mm-hmm. be surprised if it does.
Yeah. So. Cool. Any closing thoughts before we wrap this up?
No. If you've made it this far, thank you so much. Like I said, We're always trying to make sure that the audio is as good as possible. I'm still hearing the hiss. I apologize for that.
Forgive me for my coughs.
Some levels just didn't feel like they were hitting correctly today. Just bear with us. We'll get it better.
Yep. Oh, also shout outs to Shane Carlson. I saw his list. He's been going through.
Oh, nice.
And they were not that far off from our own.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm excited to like good actually. Get caught up to what is currently happening and then see a few other people's that are currently caught up and start doing some averaging.
Yeah. That'll be cool to see what it is. We'll average our own together, everybody else's by themselves, and then we'll just throw everything in the pot and see what happens. Which could be pretty cool. That's all I got.
Cool. Well, we'll be back next week where we'll be talking about something related to comic books.
Can't wait. Maybe I won't be coughing by then. We'll see you next time. Bye.
See ya.
Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.